Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of A Pen and a Napkin Podcast, the weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome to episode number 244, and we are back at the round table that is actually square here at Legends at 69th and Pacific here in Omaha. We are on the eve, we are on the cusp, we are on the brink of this year's first Metro Basketball Coaches Association clinic here. And if you haven't signed up for it, if you're in the Omaha, Lincoln, Council Bluffs area, you should sign up for it right now. If you're not here tonight, you've missed the first week. You're going to hear this on Monday, so you've got it till Wednesday to get here next week. So get here. It's a great deal. We'll talk about that later on. I am surrounded by excellence, if I do say so myself, surrounded by excellence and Jim Simons. So I could say he was late, so I could throw him under the bus a little bit here. So Steve Klein, head boys basketball coach at Bellevue West High School. Mr. Klein, this evening, how are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm with you. How much better could it be? So the aforementioned Jim Simons from Westside High School. Jim, how you doing?
I'm good. It's great to be surrounded by greatness.
So yes.
To be in the square of greatness is a good thing, even when you run a little bit late.
It's okay. We forgive you. Jake Nanen. Did I screw it up?
Nanen.
I've known this guy for years, and I still can't say his last name, nor can I apparently spell it online correctly, but that's all right. Head girls basketball coach at Elkhorn South. Sorry, Jim's the head boys basketball coach at Westside High School. I'm pointing at them like you folks are actually going to be able to see this. You're not going to be able to. So, Jake, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good, coach. Thanks for having me. We're going to talk some hoops.
Yeah, let's have some fun here. I kind of thought we would talk. You know, it's the preseason. It's late September. You guys are getting into the head coaching mode and trying to plan for the long journey here. And so that's kind of where my ideas kind of came from here for tonight. And while we're just sitting around here, you want to talk about legends and geniuses. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Tom Crable, is counting chairs behind us as we speak. And he just said, I'm number one in his book. So that's good stuff there. So let's talk about your preseason. You know, what do you guys, how do you prepare? I know I had my rhythm. I know what I tried to do by a certain point. I know what I was thinking. You know, how are you preparing as a head? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about three levels of it. How you prepare as a head coach, how you try to get your staff prepared for the season. Maybe those two kind of tie into one another. And then talk about your players and your workouts and what you're kind of trying to do to slowly but surely build up. Now, for folks that don't know, if you're out of state, all three of these guys are at Class A schools. So this is the biggest class in Nebraska. So their plans might be a lot different than if you're at a much smaller school where you're sharing athletes, you got kids out for football or volleyball or whatever it may be. So, Jake, get us going here on this. Let's talk about your preparation as a coach. How are you trying to get yourself ready to go here?
Sure. So by this point of the fall, we've kind of refined our offensive and defensive philosophy, and now we're starting to trickle that down to our assistants. We have a Saturday shooting that's optional for our players to come in and get some shots up on the machine Saturday mornings, and we take those 2 hours to kind of just break down our philosophy, getting some of the micro skills that the assistants might not know as well as us at the varsity level, and hope that starts to trickle down. And that's how we kind of help our assistants prepare for the season, X's and O's wise, once we get that finalized.
Yeah. Do you have any issues with other high school coaches with kids coming in on Saturday mornings, or is it pretty clear sailing?
Good question. We try to stick to just the athletes we have that are not in a fall sport.
Uh-huh.
And then the players that are welcome to go to outside trainers and do their own thing. But we don't touch those kids that are doing fall sports for Elkhorn South.
Yeah. So even if it's just they got the day off from volleyball, let's say, and they'd like to come in, but you're like giving them the Heisman, like you're telling them no?
Yes, we strongly encourage them to focus on their fall sport.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's reciprocated in kind.
I hope so. That's the good karma we hope to put out in the world. And then once it's basketball season, we hope other sports do the same.
Gotcha. Klein, how about you, buddy?
Well, right now we're just kind of going through with our lifting programs and doing our individual workouts and things like that. And I'm kind of the same thing. Coach Nan and I try to keep my hands off the guys that are playing football.
Yeah.
Or, you know, playing tennis or cross country. From a staff standpoint, it's a little bit different for me because I have three of my guys right now who are coaching in fall sports. So, right now it's kind of me and my varsity assistant. We're just kind of getting together every once in a while, talking about things that, you know, for this upcoming season, what's the best fit for our guys that we have coming in? What kind of adjustments do we need to make offensively, defensively, things like that? And then, you know, our guys are coming in twice a week or so, every week, twice a week in the mornings individually to do individual workouts. And then, we have our weightlifting program and our conditioning program, which is pretty huge for us in the fall season.
Yeah. How many days a week do you do the lifting?
We go 5 days a week after Labor Day.
Wow.
Before Labor Day, we're four. So.
Yeah. After school, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. After school. Yeah. We lift and then, we do a multitude of different conditioning things and depending on the day. And so, it's pretty, you know, pretty intense for guys who aren't just a basketball player.
Yeah. What time are you bringing them in the mornings there?
We usually come in at 6:40. School starts at 7:50. And so we go for a half hour, 40 minutes, somewhere in there and work just individual skill work. And so, again, I try my best to not mess with the guys who are in fall sports, but you know, some of those guys who maybe are like a JV or a freshman football player type where maybe he's not as big into the varsity group. Uh-huh. I'll try and get them to come in a little bit more. But for the most part, guys who are playing varsity football, I try to, try to leave alone, let them focus on football.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim?
You know, I think a lot of the same things both Jake and Steve said, one with the multi-sport kids, I think, you know, now is the time for them to focus on their commitment and their responsibilities with that team. So I think all of us are probably pretty similar in that regard. And, you know, as far as our schedule for our guys and our coaches, you know, our guys, it's the week before Labor Day, we get back in the weight room. We go 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays after school. And then after Labor Day, we start our on-court stuff, you know, which we're going our four at a time and we're going 2 days a week, for guys with that. So, somewhat similar, to what, you know, Steve said. So we're trying to get on the court twice a week. We try to really use this period as, you know, it's so hard, to find a time to do what would be an off-season lifting program. You know, in the spring, obviously in the winter, you're in season. In the spring, you're coming off the season. You've got a lot of guys doing track. You have AAU basketball for a lot of our guys where they're playing on the weekends as much, if not more, than what they're playing during the high school season in April and May. And then you get into the summer between our stuff in June, where we're playing quite a bit and on the court quite a bit, and the AAU stuff in July. We really look at this period, kind of Labor Day through Halloween, as kind of a two-month period where we're trying to really make some significant gains in the weight room. And use this kind of our off-season weightlifting programs. This is probably the most intense time of year for us in the weight room. And then our on-the-court stuff is a mix between skill work, trying to reinforce concepts that we introduced over the summer. You know, the first small group workout, I found out the retention was not quite as good as what I had hoped it might be. But, you know, you try to work through that. And then we've done something new this year. One of my former assistants, Dylan Travis, and he's a former assistant because of his 3x3 career that's taken off with the Olympics and stuff, has really opened my eyes to the 3-on-3 game and the ability to run different concepts and stuff like that in a 3-on-3. So we've kind of created a 3-on-3 league.
Thought I saw you in Paris.
Yeah, I was not in Paris. Oh, Dylan was in Paris. He's much skinnier, much more athletic, and much younger than I am.
Yes.
But we, you know, we've had kind of a lower level league for guys that are, you know, maybe 9th and 10th graders, and and then kind of an older league where we mix it up every week, and we kind of do it at the end of, you know, some of our other workouts, and they run it. You know, we kind of mix teams up each week. We're keeping track of wins and losses for what it's worth to try to keep it competitive. And, you know, with the scoring, we've tried to do some things to emphasize, you know, ball screens, ghost screens, splits, things that we're going to use conceptually this year. So that's been a new thing for us this year. And then coaching staff wise, you know, I'm fortunate in that I've got all of our staff back from last year. Oh. And at this point, like Jake said, you're kind of settled, I think, on your concepts and what you want to do, X's and O's schematic wise. But we'd try to meet two or three times in the fall just to make sure everybody's on the same page. We had to do it a little bit more last year because we had a couple new additions to the staff last year. But I think just to make sure everybody's on the same page and kind of some brainstorming just to make sure we're all kind of set for when November comes.
Yeah. You know, when I was at Scud, I was doing a lot of the same things as you guys were doing. But then when I went to Fort Calhoun, like every kid was in a fall sport, you know, and I'm sure you went through that like at Superior.
We did the exact same thing.
And so I was kind of sitting there September 20th. I'm like, I feel like I should be doing something, but I'm not. And I'm not going to, again, not going to step on the toes of the volleyball or the softball or whatever, you know. So that was a weird feeling.
Yeah, when I was going to mention that because I know, like, if you think about, obviously, we're at the Class A level. So we don't have a lot of kids who do multiple sports. You know, we have a lot of just basketball kids. We have some. But for those schools that are, you know, I remember when I was in Plattsmouth and it was the same way. Yep. I maybe had one or two kids who weren't in a fall sport.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it makes it a lot different for us and what we have and the ability as opposed to some of the smaller schools and those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it does always kind of feel like a rat race when there's so much to do with so little time. And I think it is important still in the preseason to understand that less is more.
Yeah.
And you're building the players' bodies up and their skill work up for the season.
Uh-huh.
So I think sometimes it's easy for us to almost get stressed about how much time we don't have, when in reality, it might be some positives that we can take from that as well.
Yeah. And I think Jake's point, not only physically, but, you know, I try to remind myself and remind my coaches, they're going to hear plenty from us from November 18th, hopefully into March.
Yeah.
And it's okay for them to figure some things out on their own.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, I've liked the 3-on-3 league because we just sit in the stands and watch, and you know, some of their 3-man teams are getting along really well and chemistry's good, and some of them are learning the frustrations of, you know, trying to coach some of your teammates, you know. Yeah. But I think for them to, you know, not hear from us, you know, the kind of that less is more at times is a good thing, because I just think if you're, you know, if you're trying to, you know, give the same level of instruction and August, September, and October, that's going to ring pretty hollow by the time you get to February and March. And my voice is annoying enough as it is to have to listen to for a short period of time.
Well, we didn't want to say anything, but, you know.
Leave a little meat on the bone for the season.
Yeah.
You want them to be excited and rejuvenated and not think, oh, another day of basketball. Here we go.
November 18th should look and feel different probably than September and October do.
Sure.
If it is, per Jake's point, just another day of basketball on November 18th, you're going to run out of steam, I think, at some point. So November 18th should look and feel a lot different, I think.
Everybody, coaches, players, you only have so much emotional energy to give. I mean, we always think about being tired physically for the season, but I especially as I got more seasoned and experienced, it was just the slow build. And I can definitely say now with some perspective, I definitely probably had a little bit of Tom Thibodeau in me where it was like, we got to win everything, you know. I'll try to, you know, try to do it in Tibbs' voice. We got to win everything, you know. But, you know, you learn how to pace that out. And yeah, you want to get stuff done in the preseason. But I like what you said, Jim. You know, November 18th should feel different at that point. Steve, you're gonna say something?
No, huh?
Oh, okay. All right. What about, like, are you guys working on one of the things I enjoyed the most? I mean, I enjoyed going to the gym, I enjoyed getting them ready for the season, but one of the things I enjoyed was, you know, how am I going to communicate with my team? What are my themes going to be for the season? And I know I spend a lot of this time working on that type of stuff. What type of messages do I want to deliver to the team as we go through things here? Are those some things that you guys are thinking about right now, and if you are, what have you kind of settled in on? I'm just kind of curious.
I think it's a great opportunity for you to individually communicate with your kids a little bit more, kind of build that relationship more with those, especially for your younger kids, you know, your kids you have coming back. I think it gives you a great opportunity to really, in the weight room especially, you know, you get a chance to sit and talk with them, you know, figure out how their day is going, figure out, you know, what things are going on with them, and get to know them a little bit better, especially for me. You know, we lost 9 seniors, so we're going to have, I got a bunch of young kids coming back. So it's really important for me to really kind of get to know those guys. And it gives me this opportunity in the fall to do that a little bit better and kind of learn what makes them click and what doesn't.
I'll often say, you know, kind of what Steve is saying, this is my favorite time of year. You know, you're still undefeated. you don't have any losses that are keeping you up at night. Everybody still thinks they're probably going to be a starter or the sixth man. So nobody's upset about their role or their minutes that they're getting. But in all seriousness, I think that does really allow you to dive into that relationship building, you know, and try to develop and strengthen those relationships. So when you inevitably, when the season hits, whether it's team adversity or individual adversity, a guy, you know, not performing as he wants to, or it's not quite having the role that he maybe envisioned, that relationship has been built in a time which, you know, like I said, there's really not a ton of stress in it. You haven't lost a game. Nobody's upset about playing time or role or shot selection or what you're running offensively or anything like that. And it gives you, I think, an opportunity, you know, even in the weight room. You know, you try to get a couple check-ins each day with, you know, a certain number of kids, and you try to hit the next group of kids the next day and building those relationships at a time when the stress is low. And I think that'll help you when you're going to have to rely upon some of those, you know, deposits in the relationship bank when the stress gets a little bit higher as, you know, as the season, the rhythm of the season gets to a different point here in a couple of months.
Yeah, you're making those emotional deposits.
Yeah, and just building off what these two coaches said, also a great time to introduce and reinforce some of your team standards moving forward. As in, from summertime to now, there might be a little slippage in your expectations for your team. So just making sure to continue to reinforce those standards that you have while building those good relationships like these coaches had. So,
And good I think, you know, you said, you know, whether it's your themes for the year, I mean, I'm not as smart as the last Bellevue West coach or the current one, so we won't have a Latin theme for the year as they will. But, you know, I think you draw those out. And as like Jake said, you really try to, whatever those standards or expectations, you know, values that you may have, those are things you could try to enforce in the weight room, in your small group workouts, in your open gym pickups, all those things. I think you can really build upon those. You know, for us, one of them is we talk about take the stairs, and, you know, it's just doing hard things. And, you know, and that's something I think you can reinforce a ton in, you know, in your off season stuff. And there is slippage from, you know, you haven't really seen that, you know, July is kind of an AAU. You got
hit,
some stuff
hit and
going
miss
on.
At best.
Yeah, you know, so you really haven't seen them on a consistent basis since June 25th or so. So there is some slippage.
And Coach, I love that phrase, take the stairs. I actually saw a great tweet today. That was actually our message for weightlifting.
I saw it
after
too
school.
On the 2% of people will take the stairs. I bookmarked that one.
People, and a survey said that they would take the, excuse me, so 98 people out of 100 said they would rather take the escalator than stairs if both were available. So our message
was knowing
kind of
that taking the stairs would be better for them.
And our message was kind of Elkhorn South girls basketball takes the stairs. That's where uncomfortability lies. And just finding good connectors like that really kind of reinforces possibly your message.
Let's talk about your playbooks here. You know, that's another thing that, that coaches are spinning their wheels at. You know, obviously for us in Nebraska here, June is hyper busy. That's, you know, every, you know, we try to take that stuff that we've been thinking about in March, April, and May and implement a lot of those things in June and then kind of tweaking it and thinking, rethinking it during this time period. You know, what was, what is, again, I know how I did things. I would literally hand draw out a calendar of every day and I would be like, you know, we want to put in Cowboy on this date. And then, you know, whether it's offense or defense, and then I would try to map that out for the entire season. And then as things would happen, 50% of that crap never got touched, you know? But at least it was there, you know, and you were, you could look at that every day. It's like, okay, are we ready for that yet? You know? And, you know, again, it was, for me, it was in front of me and I saw it every day. I could, it was something I could, legitimately look at. So as you're building your playbook for the season, how do you implement it? Are you looking at a couple of weeks out? Are you looking for the entire season? Kind of like I tried to sometimes with success, sometimes not, you know. How do you guys manage all that? Let's see. Who do we start with last time? Do we start with you? We're going to start with Klein this time.
All right. Well,
I'm just trying to be an equal opportunity podcast host here. Yeah. So
for us, we have our basic stuff. I mean, Coach Simons can probably draw it up in his sleep. You know? And so a lot of times in the summertime, we stick with a lot of that basic stuff. We don't do a lot of real fancy things, just to get our kids to understand basic movements of what we want to do offensively and things like that. And then what we'll start now, probably here in a week or two in our morning individual workouts, is we'll start doing some of the concepts we want to kind of intertwine with this group that we have coming up, and trying to work on building to their strengths and all that kind of stuff. And we have our, you know, Coach Bush and I all sit down. We've sat down and talk about, okay, this is what we would like to, these are some things that we think are the strengths of our kids. We need to implement this a little bit more this year, offensively, defensively. And we kind of do that, like I said, a little bit more in our individual workouts. But then, you know, when we get to our open gym sessions where we're playing, and we'll kind of, you know, we start fall league this week, this Saturday. So, you know, we've kind of, I sat down our guys and talked about that, and talked about, okay, these are just the basic things that I should see when I'm watching you guys play in fall league. And so, that's kind of where we're at, from an implementation schedule. I don't know if I sit down and I write it out. I think it's more of a, I kind of have a good idea up here, yeah. I guess, for me. I'm not much of a write it out kind of person, I guess, but I have a pretty good idea of what I have planned and what I want to implement by, you know, maybe I've kind of maybe broke it down into three areas. Before Christmas, we get to before the, you know, before the Metro tournament, and then we kind of go month of January into about February, maybe add a couple things in there, and then I save, kind of try to save the best for last, hopefully, you know, if you're playing in March, and save the best for, you know, some things in March that you gotta, because you get to, if you're fortunate enough to get to March, you got to keep some things in your back pocket, because coaches are so good at scouting, and they all know, you know, again, like I said, majority of them know what you're doing. So you got to keep a couple things in the back pocket when you get to that point.
So that's the success of Bellevue West. They don't need to write anything down. They speak in Latin. Look at this. They speak in dead languages. It's
yeah, Steve, we are 100 pages over here.
We are like intellectually
the spectrum here.
So inferior here, the rest of us here, you know.
I promise you we are not.
He's talking in tongues, and we're just talking in slobber and stuff. So,
hey, the best part about the whole Latin thing, everybody asks every time we get to a gym, everybody sees it, and they're like, what the heck does that mean? And half of our kids probably couldn't even tell them what it was, let alone our coaching staff. I mean, you know.
I've told Doug in the past, I think it was a lot more than half couldn't tell you what it meant.
Jake, what do you got here?
Yeah, so just in terms of offensive installation, more towards wintertime than the fall, since we don't have fall leagues or anything like that. First of all, got to give Jim a lot of credit. Back when I was on the boys' side, I coached at Lincoln Southeast and Southwest for 2 or 3 years, and I was always impressed with West Side's offense. And when I had this opportunity to come up to Elkhorn South, you know, seeing his spacing template, some of the different things he was trying to do with his cuts, some of the concepts that he uses, we emulate. So very
impressive.
And as
you know,
job.
They're not mine.
Yeah. But yeah. Hey, we're not going to share that here publicly. That's
honor,
for another time.
Honor among thieves.
We got to keep that under wraps for now. But just in terms of general installation, we're always thinking first and foremost about our transition and our spacing alignment in transition. We like to say if we can arrive spaced and organized, we usually stay spaced and organized. Uh-huh. And from there, we start to flow into some of our half-court cutting rules. Uh-huh. We start to think about some different concepts that we like to use for ball and player movement, and then some different series that we like to use within those. Uh-huh. So we could talk all day about that installation. Uh-huh. I don't have a ton of set plays in our repertoire for Elkhorn South, but we are very strive to be conceptually based, create space, and take advantage of that space that we create. So it definitely heavily depends on what offense you're running. Installation timelines probably look different for everybody, but we're going to move on when the players are ready to move on.
Yeah,
we're not going to try to throw too much at them. You guys have probably heard the phrase, slow feet don't eat, paralysis by analysis, you name it. We want our players playing decisive, fast, and free. And we continue when our players are ready to continue. Yeah. It all goes back to spacing. We emphasize that heavily.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I wrote that calendar out, it was, okay, this is the dream. Like, this is what I would love to be able to do. And inevitably, you know, 50% of it you never got to, you know.
Less is more.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and like you were talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
You can, I would rather run, you know, like last year we had five plays and we might have ran three of them well, but we were pretty good at what we were good at, which was getting out, running in transition, playing, getting good space, playing off of one another, just letting kids play basketball. And I, you know, had talented kids. I mean, you know, that obviously allows you to do that as well. So, Jim, how about you?
A lot of both those guys. Obviously, as Jake said, we do a lot of the same things offensively, conceptually, to what his group is doing at Elkhorn South. You know, and I would agree with what Steve said. You know, to us, June is a time, you know, with our, we call it our install or our team camp. We're going to try to get all of our base concepts, our spacing, our cutting rules, all that done in June. And most of it, there's obviously good continuity. You know, I mean, our lower level coaches are doing a good job of coaching those things.
And that's so important.
It is. It's just really, really important.
Because when you get to your level, let's say you play the freshman team, you play the JV team, now you're with Coach Simons. It's so important to have those coaches on your so you don't have to teach it.
It becomes really hard for the kids if they're starting it. Square one. So we're going to try to do all of that stuff in June. And then, as Steve said, we're going to play all of our June games. We don't have an out of bounds play. We don't have a set in June. We want to get really good at running our base stuff. Other people do it differently. You know, some people are going to run, you know, they want to work their sets. They want to work their out of bounds plays. I just want us to get really good at running our base stuff. And then same thing in the fall league that starts on Saturday. You know, we'll just run our base stuff. We try to, you know, as everybody does, you try to figure out a couple things that'll be better for your group each year. We're bigger and more physical than we've been in the past. You know, so we're going to do a couple things differently. We're going to keep our alignment the same, but a couple different concepts in there that we introduced in June and try to incorporate those in our four-man skill groups to reinforce those concepts. And then I'm maybe between you and Klein. I didn't have a full calendar. I've got a document from my first year. After the first few days of practice, I got in like a panic and I was like, holy crap, what do we need for the first game? So I have a before game one Google Doc that started my first year. And you know what? It's not all that different now than it was 8-9 years ago. It's, you know, I want to have a couple man quick hitters, a couple zone quick hitters, a couple man, a couple zone baseline out of bounds plays. I want to make sure we've got a press break in and, you know, kind of maybe an in-game, you know, situational play here or there. So I've got that list and I've gotten to be pretty good at holding true to that. We get to the first game, we're going to have those things in. It's by no means comprehensive. And there's always a chance in that first game or second game, you're going to get to something that wasn't on that list and you're going to have to, you know, figure it out on the fly. But also per Steve's point, and I think everybody's point, if you're trying to get everything in by that first game, it's going to be very difficult to do. So you got to just gradually add things. And maybe that's where I'm different, Marty, than you is I've got my first game list that I hold pretty true to. And then honestly, after that, I kind of start going a little bit week by week, you know, I mean, who are we playing week two, week three, or, you know, are they a zone team? Well, we might get a little more into some of our zone stuff than we would be if we're playing somebody the second week that I know is not going to zone us, you know? So I kind of, once we get after that first weekend of games, I kind of get into more, what do we need for this game? But, you know, there's an idea. I'm not as smart as Steve, but there's an idea in my head by the time.
Well, you don't speak a dead language.
I don't speak Latin. You know, by the time we get to February, there's certainly, you know, stuff. But I think also some of that is your team kind of dictates that. I mean, you know, your groups might be different and, you know, somebody emerges as a, you know, a go-to player, and you want to make sure you've got a couple things in for them. And our go-to player this year might be, you know, a little different than what our go-to player was last year. So maybe a couple of our quick hitters need to look a little bit different this year to take advantage of of that.
You hit on something there. I had a list of miscellaneous stuff that we wanted to make sure that we covered before our first game. So timeouts. How we're going to, anyway, we would spend time and probably we would spend 5-7 minutes going over, this is what a 60 second timeout looks like. And we would get out chairs and we would get everything organized, you know, 30 second timeouts. We, you know, how are we going to defend a jump ball? How are we going to, you know, and then we, you know, I'd come up, I'm sure I got it from like Don Meyer, but it was just all of these kind of special and stuff you don't even think about. Halftime, going over what's halftime going to look like for us, you know, and we would take a day, and a lot of those things we kind of wrap up in the same day where here's a 60 second timeout, here's a 30 second timeout. All right, now we're going to go 10 minute halftime, and this is what it looks like, and this is how we're going to do it, so that you get into that first game and you're not like, oh, you know what, and everything's chaotic. So,
and I think that's where, you know, in Nebraska, obviously you've got listeners from a number of states, but the jamborees that came in 15 years ago or so, that
yes,
initially I think were a fundraiser for maybe Hurricane Katrina.
It was Hurricane, yeah, Katrina. Yeah.
But we've stuck with them. And I think that dress rehearsal game is so valuable. I try to, as often as possible, I like to play our jamboree on the road, so we can practice
being on
what,
the road,
what a road trip looks like, getting on a bus and all of that stuff. Somebody said the other day, like, why are we're on the road like the third year in a row for the jamboree? And I said, that's because we're good playing here. I mean, we have an idea of what that's going to look like, but I think those in our state have been so helpful to practice, you know, some of those things, you know, your timeouts, your half times, and you may screw them up in the jamboree, which is fine and really a good learning experience.
And that's what you learn.
And then you hope, your guys will tell you what you need to work on in that week between the jamboree and the first game.
Well, not only that, you get stuff on film. That's the huge thing, I think, too, is you get on film. So these guys can actually see, hey, you know, this is what we need to get way better at and figure this out, because film doesn't lie. And so, you know, all these guys could be thinking, oh, yeah, no, we're okay. We're not okay. We got some things we got to get fixed before this first game and get ourselves ready to roll.
And I think that's sometimes the constant battle we face as coaches in the preseason, is you do want to get really, really good at those things that happen the most, which is probably your base offense and your base defense. And you're battling that with those things that you do need to install.
Yeah.
Culture-wise, X's and O's wise.
Special teams, out-of-bounds plays, defending out-of-bounds plays.
I don't think there's a perfect recipe, but it's interesting to hear different perspectives of what needs to be in on those first games of the season.
You know, I think your team probably dictates that a little too. I know Steve and I last year both had very experienced, very veteran teams with a number of guys that had played a ton of varsity basketball. I know we both have much less experienced, much less veteran teams going into this year. So some things that we both probably took for granted last year.
yes.
Like I would have never thought last year about, you know, talk it through a 60 second or a 30 second timeout, because guys last year that have played 80, 90 varsity games for us. But this year, we got guys, they may go to the wrong bench this year. I mean, a couple guys, they might think Klein is their coach when we play Bellevue West. So
they probably think Klein's trying to cast a spell on it with the Latin, you know, that type of stuff.
Our guys, I don't think, do Latin. So I think we'll be okay. That won't confuse them.
Yeah. See that dead horse over in the corner? I'm going to beat the crap out of that thing for the rest of this podcast.
Hey, if I'm coming clean, okay, I do write a list out. I did write last year for the first game, all this.
In Latin or in English?
No, in English.
Okay.
In English, yes.
Yeah. Some Brazilian click language from the Amazon just to keep it double top secret. So and you know, if you're listening and if you want that list of stuff that I've done, you know, like I said, after 5 years, folks should know I'm an open book, you know, and I don't have anything to hide from anybody anymore. So who gives a crap? So if you want that list of like the stuff, and it was probably about 15 things long. So, you know, if you want that, you know, just give me a holler. So, hey, we all want to be playing our best in February and March. What's the key? What's the plan? I mean, again, you guys are late September. It's a long ways away, but you guys are three veteran coaches. You've been through some battles. You've all coached at the highest level at the state tournament. What do you try to do to get your team as ready as they can be for hitting your stride in early to mid February and getting ready to roll here? So, Jim, this was an equal opportunity podcast. You get to stop on this.
Even though I was late, I appreciate getting the start.
It's all right.
But, you know, I think
you get to start on this late.
Some of it is you know, some of the stuff we've already talked about. You know, I think if, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in Nebraska about off-season rules and stuff like that. And I've said, you know, if, you know, if the rules were such that you could practice all year long, I'd probably be okay playing a guy in March that, that started full-scale practice in September. I don't know if we'd do real well against them in December if they'd been practicing since September, but I'd probably be okay playing them in March. So I think you got to understand what battles you're going to fight early on. You know, this time of year, you're trying to establish your standards, but you also are trying to build relationships and things like that. So I think you got to be cognizant of that. And then I think as you get into the season, you know, as Steve said, you try to break the season up into different segments. We look at that period, I think, like everybody, before the moratorium is kind of the first part. And we're trying to get really good at the stuff that happens the most at our base stuff with enough special situation stuff that you don't get burned in a tight game and being totally unprepared. As you get into January and February, you hope your base stuff is clicking fairly well. So you start getting a little bit more into maybe some more quick hitters, some more after timeout stuff, some more into game, you know, situational stuff. You know, I think as you get better, and then I think obviously, you know, you got to be cognizant, I think Jake said it, of taking care of their bodies, whether it's this time of year, it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. You know, you're maybe not trying to win everything right now. I mean, I'll be okay if we get beat on Saturday in fall league. And, you know, I tell our guys, because they got to coach themselves in fall league. Probably the maddest I've been in years of fall league was 3 or 4 years ago. We had a couple competitive kids and we were playing somebody good. I don't remember who it was. And in a 40-minute fall league game, like two of our best players played like 36 minutes. They wouldn't sub themselves out. And that was the most mad I've been in fall league, because it's just, what do you, number one, these other guys need an opportunity to play. Number two, that's not what fall league's about. But I think as you get into the season too, you know, taking care of their bodies and being smart as you get into January and February, what do your practices look like? And, you know, being cognizant of there's a lot of mileage on the body by the time you get to February and adjusting your practices. And, you know, I think you and I maybe talked about this in the podcast before. I think we try when we get to the end, and, you know, hasn't worked as well as some of the things Bellevue West has obviously done at the end, but we try to, you know, as you get to the last couple of weeks of the regular season and the postseason, to me, the time for kind of hard coaching is maybe, you know, there's some things you got to hold them accountable to, obviously, but we try to be super positive and try to really pump guys full of confidence. There's going to be nerves and, you know, as you get to that time of the year, and we want them to be as confident as they can be. And so we hope that most of our coaching has been done by the time we get to that point of the year. And as we get towards the end, it's just, we're going to be really positive. We're going to encourage them and have a confident, aggressive team. Jake?
Yeah, and Jim touched on my most important detail for that is your practice structure.
Yeah.
Before moratorium, you're probably thinking 2 hours plus. We personally never go over 2 hours, but I know that's perfectly acceptable heading into the winter. After moratorium, you've got about a month or two there, probably a month where you're cutting that down to an hour and a half. And then it's tough, but we try to cut down to about an hour 15. Misconception is that those are lazy walk-through practices.
Yeah.
In reality, we'd rather have it be short, sweet, and intense and get the kids out of there.
Yeah.
Along with that, we like the phrase of, you're in trouble if your best game of the year is the first game.
Yeah.
So making sure that you're not rushing all of the different concepts you want to install, all of your different strategies on the defensive end, and yes, giving them wrinkles as the year goes on that they feel comfortable and ready with, that are also going to allow you to look different at the end of the season than the beginning.
Yeah.
So I feel like I basically just repeated what Jim said on his point to practice length and intensity, but also understanding it is a process and there's wrinkles that you're going to add that make you a completely different team.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, a phrase I would use, quality over quantity. Yeah, we're going to go for 75 minutes. Now, we're going to bust it hard. But if you bust it hard for 75 minutes, guess what? We're done in 75 minutes. And I promise you, I'll get you out of here. And I didn't give a whole lot of promises, you know, but those are conversations that we had. Yeah, we're going to bust it for 60 minutes. We went over our scout. We're coming out. Okay. It's, you know, after scout, it's 4 o'clock. We bust it. We're done at 5. So let's bust our tails for 60 minutes here. But we're going to get after it. It's like you said, it's not just willy-nilly, you know, nothing here. We're going to get after it. We're going to really go. So I do agree with you there. Steve?
I would echo both their practice. You know, we're the same way. You know, you start at the beginning of the year, you start intense and you just go for long amounts of time. But as the year goes along, you shorten it up. I do agree with what Jim said about, you know, end of the year. If you happen to make, you know, we've been fortunate enough, you know, really fortunate to make the state tournament for quite a few years here now in a row. And so getting to understand that that's their reward for everything that they put into all that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, you want to come in and you want to get teams ready, you know, ready to play and play well at the state tournament, but you also want them to understand, hey, you know, you guys have earned this. You know, you deserve the opportunity to go down to Lincoln and play in that, you know, in that atmosphere and enjoy it, but also understand that, you know, this is a goal you guys had wanted. So, you know, there's certain things you're going to have to hold yourself standards to. The other thing is I was been thinking about this, and I was, you know, early in the year from, this is one of the things I learned from Doug was early in the year, we do a lot of scouting ourselves. You know, it's more, what do we need to do to get better at us, uh-huh, as opposed to what do we need to do to, you know, we're playing West Side, you know, what do we need to do to take away their strengths? Those, uh-huh, kind of things. You know, I think early in the year, you know, before Christmas and usually, you know, right before the Metro Holiday Tournament, that's kind of the way we treat things. And then after that, we start to ramp up our scouting reports a little bit more. Now we start, yeah, getting into individual, you know, individual tendencies and what are these guys, again, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What do they like to do best? As we go along. And I think that's one of the things that we've been fortunate enough, again, that, you know, the nice thing is if you make the state tournament, you have, for the boys side, you have a nice, probably, roughly week, a little bit more than a week, week and a half at times to prepare for teams. And so,
depends on if you play the district final on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, if you're, I like the extra day, you know, so we use that extra day to prep and, you know, Coach Simons likes to have that extra day to prep for the district tournament, which, you know, it's
yeah. Coach Woodard is laughing. Yes, I know if he is. He's listening, he'll roll his eyes at that. So,
But I just think it's important that they understand that that's their reward and, you know, you've earned that opportunity and it's a big deal. And again, as we go along, we get more in depth into personnel and, yeah, and things like that as the season goes along. It's all the points are pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think it matters what level you're coaching at. I think it's pretty much the same across the board. I think.
Yeah. I really like, I think basically all three of you said of it in your own way, but the way you communicate with your players, keeping things really, really positive. You know, I was, when we would get to February, it was pretty much all really, really positive. You know, again, like you're saying, Jim, they're tired of hearing your voice. Believe it or not, they get tired of you. Absolutely 1,000% true. I really did, as I became more seasoned and experienced, I was very conscientious of trying to keep things as positive as possible. Once that calendar turned to February 1st, you know, hey, we're great job. In the inside, you might be thinking, what the are you doing here? You know, type of a thing. But, you know, you try to do, because Kirk Ferentz or various other football, the hay's in the barn at that point. You kind of are who you are by that point. You just hope that it's kind of good enough and you're kind of coaching that mental game to get your kids in a positive mindset going in, because you step into that. We've all been there. You step into that district game, it's a completely different field than the last game of the regular season. It's 1,000% different. And with the young team that we had last year, I told them, I said, winning a district game, you're going to have to put in the emotional level of two, maybe even three regular season games, let alone trying to win a state tournament game, which we've all been to, you know. And so those are the things that I always tried to do, you know, in that regard, and just talk to them about the emotion. You know, we were pretty transparent. We tried to be as transparent as we could be about those type of things, about this is the way you're going to feel. This is how it's going to go. And, you know, now I coached a bunch of freshmen and sophomores last year too, so they had a different perspective on it, you know. So anything else on that, fellas?
No, I think that mindset piece is perfect. And Jim also mentioned that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we're being positive, but we do have those standards that we still need to uphold and reinforce, but probably in a more positive way.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs money. What's your best fundraising idea? What's your best fundraising idea?
I can't beat the West Side golf outing.
Just had it on Sunday, so yeah. Just wrapped it up. So
yeah.
We've been lucky, you know. We've got Coach Clark and I have a good relationship. Our girls' coach, and I think this was our 13th annual golf event, and it's grown, you know, every year. Where and it kind of runs itself to a certain extent. We've got a lot of loyal people who come back every year, so that's one of the things we've done, and it's been really successful for us. So it's and it's nice when it's over and it didn't rain.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One day. That's it.
One day. Yep.
Boom, boom,
one day.
Done.
Yep. Yep. 5 hours or so. And it's like I said, once we've done it enough years and have built up, you know, kind of a loyal group of people who are going to support it. I mean, we get 130 to 135 golfers every year and do well in putting together a raffle and those types of things. So that's been a good fundraiser for us.
Clay?
Coach Bacon restarted that, and I decided not to get into it this year because it just, I don't know, it seems like a lot of work, but.
I think it really is on the front end. I feel, you know, that's the nice thing. I said it's our 13th year of doing it together with Coach Clark and I, and I feel it's at the point now where.
It takes care of itself.
Autopilot. Yeah, it requires obviously some work, but it's a heck of a lot less work than it probably was 8, 9 years ago.
I go through Steve Foster, and so we do, you know, we've done a couple different things where we do booklets where we, you know, try to sell booklets for coupons and things like that. But right now we're just, it's more cookie dough and that kind of stuff. Pretty basic stuff. I've thought a lot about getting back into the golf tournament. We used to do it a couple years ago. But then, you know, Doug kind of gave up on that because it wasn't really hitting like he wanted it to.
Sure.
And it was so much work to it. But Coach Bacon started again. Matter of fact, this upcoming weekend, I'll kind of see how it goes and we'll see, maybe join back with him.
Sure.
But in terms of fundraising ideas, we just do either the booklets or sell cookie dough. So it's pretty simple stuff. And our guys do a pretty good job of it, but it also incorporates into our junior T-Bird program too. So
sure.
Our junior T-Bird program does it at the same time. And, and so that helps a little bit as well.
Yeah. 204th Street here. You just got to ask for a check. You don't even need to do anything. He's done it like 10 minutes. Just boom, done.
Yeah. Elkhorn South. We have
that's an Omaha suburbs joke, by the way. So
at Elkhorn South, we have a great budget, which we're very fortunate for. And we kind of let the fundraising go through our booster club. And the booster club is very creative with their ideas. The classics. You've got your door signs that they like to sell. We have Flip Give, which is an app that gives percentages of purchases back to our program.
Sure. Yep.
So the booster club is the creative mind behind all of our fundraising. And we're lucky enough to have a great budget to stay afloat throughout the season.
Yeah. We did the cornhole thing. The bags, whatever. And, you know, my big thing is we're going to do one day. That's it. We're done. Whatever happens, it's up to me to make it stretch for the entire year. But we're not going to keep knocking on the doors. We're not going to keep doing this. It's just, and I asked my parents, I asked my players, I was really transparent about it. One day, let's just bust it for one day. And the other 364 days a year, I will not ask you for pretty much anything, you know, and that worked really well for us there. So
gosh, nowadays there's an online fundraiser where I see football programs in our state raising literally upwards of $30,000,
$40,000.
We've investigated that.
We do one in addition to the golf tournament through Fundraising U, and it's been a really successful fundraiser for us, with very, very minimal overhead and work. And it's, you know, like Jake, I mean, we're fortunate to be in a district that is very supportive of athletics, and all of our basic needs are taken care of. And the fundraising, you know, usually for us comes down to just trying to improve the player experience and trying to give them, you know, some extras. And we're lucky that it's, I know some people probably in some parts of the country are certainly burdened a lot more by fundraising than what we are.
Yeah. I like that phrase, Jim. Improve the player experience.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think those are the things, you know, I mean, beyond the school's going to provide all the all the necessities. But you know, stuff that kids like to do, whether it's gear or
travel
summer, summer, opportunities and travel stuff.
Popular,
extremely popular.
All that kind of
hoodies.
Stuff. Hoodies, stars for
hoodies. Yeah, improve the player experience.
Can all the different kinds of uniforms.
Could you translate this into Swahili for me here, Clint? So. Hey, we're all here. Let's go home on this, guys. It's been a great 50 minutes already. I don't know if you realize that or not. Time flies when you're having fun. We're all here because of the Metro Basketball Coaches Association. It's the first night. It's a great organization. It's been around since the early 70s. Point of trivia: the first speaker ever at the Metro Basketball Coaches Clinic,
Bob Knight, I believe.
Bobby Knight came out and spoke. So it's been over 50 years, I believe, that this has been continuously running. And we even, Tom found a way to keep it going even through COVID and quarantine. So hats off to Tom for doing that. But these type of things are, to a degree, dying a little bit, or it's drastically changed at the very least. But why, for the coaches listening, if you're the young coach that says, I can get whatever I need off of YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it may be, why is it still important to be part of coaching organizations like this and just things like that? I mean, what do you guys enjoy about it?
I think it's two things. I think one, it gives you an opportunity to get your staff together and listen to some new concepts, new ideas. And two, I think it gives us an opportunity to build camaraderie amongst us coaches around the area. Uh-huh. And I wish we did things like this more. Cause yes, don't get me wrong. When Jim and I are coaching against each other, we're both super competitive. But I've got a ton of respect for Jim and hopefully he has some for me. But, the fact that we're able to go to different clinics together and we see each other there and we talk a lot, between AAU or things like the Metro Clinic, I think that's a huge part to building camaraderie amongst the staff members in the Metro area. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I think Steve had, the second thing he said is one of the things I was going to say, is I think this is awful competitive. You got a bunch of listeners all over the country, I'm sure. And, here, this is competitive. It's high-level basketball, and we compete awful hard. I think the camaraderie that something like this, at the end of the day, we're all in this to help kids. We all are competitive people. We all want to win. We'll desperately want to beat Steve's team when we play them, and they've beaten us more than we've beaten them, so I don't know if they'll desperately want to beat us, but I think they'll want to beat us.
Anytime you can beat Westside, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. I think the ability, one, to develop some friendships, add some mutual respect and understanding amongst the group is great, and just a chance to network and to learn from people. You can get a bunch of stuff on YouTube and on Twitter, and there's resources that, certainly 10, 15 years ago were not available online, but to sit down and talk to people, and I can remember as a young coach, I'm halfway on that seasoned and experienced thing that you talk about. I'm certainly
not the O word, seasoned and experienced.
But, I can remember, many nights, on these Wednesday nights talking to coaches who had much more experience than what I had, and just one, the camaraderie of it, two, the knowledge that you gain. I think that's a huge thing. And this thing 10, 15, 20 years ago was membership was much bigger than what it is now. And I wish, and there's, everybody's got stuff. I mean, families, and there's so many different things going on, but I think there's great value in that. And I think the second thing is you're always going to learn something, and I think no matter if you're a young coach or an experienced coach, I mean, the time you're done learning, you're probably starting on that downhill slide. So I think it's a wonderful investment of your time. Obviously, the price at this particular deal is very reasonable.
Yeah.
And you're going to gain a better camaraderie, respect for your fellow coaches, and you're going to come out of here a better coach. I mean, there's probably nobody who's going to come here in September, October, and radically change anything they're going to do this season based on something they see in a 1 hour presentation. But I guarantee you, you're going to take one or two things, whether it's just a way of phrasing something or a way of communicating something, that'll make you better and make your team better. Jake?
I do still consider myself a young coach, although the gray hair and high blood pressure might tell you otherwise. I think that's
you're the youngest grade. At this table.
Yes.
I think that's the fourth grade teacher in me.
By a distance, you are the youngest at this table.
But networking and growth mindset. Yeah. This is my second year in the MBCA since I've moved up to the metro area. Yeah. And what a great opportunity for me to sit at this table, talk with some coaches that I've watched for years. Steve coming into his second year, correct?
Yep.
So a lot of Doug's things that he was doing is a great opportunity for me personally, which I feel very great to be here with you guys and continuing to get to see some other coaches around the area, learn from them. And with that growth mindset piece, like you guys mentioned, yeah, we might not take a million things off of the presentations from the UNK staff tonight, but if you're looking and you're eager, odds are you can learn something new every single year.
Yeah.
So those are the two main things.
Yeah.
For me,
I think you brought up an interesting thing about the networking, and you're talking about the membership, and yeah, you know, it has decreased. Yeah, but I think, you know, not to sound like we're the guys yelling at the clouds or anything like that, but a lot of the reason is that the younger coaches are not here, but these are the younger coaches that in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, whenever it may be, hey, I want to apply for that job at school X, Y, and Z. Well, are you going to be a blank resume, or are you going to be, you know, Steve Klein or Jim Simons or Jake that says, hey, oh, I remember meeting that 27-year-old kid at the Metro Coaches Clinic. I know this. I know who this is. Yeah. I had a nice conversation with them. I'm going to give them a call, you know, and those personal relationships, you can't build that on Twitter. You can't build that on Instagram or YouTube or anything, you know.
Coaches help coaches, you know. Yeah. I mean, whether it's, you know, if we're going to play somebody that Steve has played, I know he's, you know, he's going to get me a film. If I ask for a film, he'll probably even take my call and talk to me for 10 or 15 minutes about how they played. And, you know, I think that's helpful. And those things are developed at something like this. You know, Jake and I do a lot of the same things conceptually, offensively. And, you know, my guess is when we hang up on this recording here, we'll be able to talk a little bit about some of those things. And, uh-huh. You know, and I just even think, you know, as I said, it's very competitive. Steve and I's schools are very competitive, not only in basketball, but in other sports.
Yeah.
But I think the, you know, kind of the relationship building that you can have as coaches also can kind of set a tone for the game. You know, I mean, the game's going to be, when we play them, it's going to be very intense. It's going to be very competitive. Mm-hmm. But Steve's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, I think both of us are going to stand in the way of anything happening that shouldn't happen in a high school basketball game, because through stuff like this, Steve's a friend.
Yeah. No. Anything else, guys? Anything else you want to talk about? We got, you know, if you want to run it through. No? We're good. So, shameless plug for the Metro Basketball Coaches Association clinics here. You're going to hear this on Monday. You will, obviously, if you're not here tonight, you're going to miss tonight's presentation. But September 25th, we got Tim Sandquist, highly successful men's basketball coach at Kirkwood Community College out of Cedar Rapids. Carrie Amy, the new women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. And then October the 2nd, Mark Sfigera from my alma mater, the Harvard of the Heartland, the Princeton of the Plains, the Columbia of the Cornfields, the MIT of the Midwest. Yes, I am talking about Briarcliff University.
You mispronounced Morningside. Go Mustangs.
It's a long walk back to the suburbs, Jake. It's a long walk back. I almost violated the Fiji 13 rule of a pen and a napkin right there. No, Mark's a great guy. He was at my clinic in the spring, did a great presentation. Ryan Kirch, the head men's basketball coach at Iowa Central. And then October 9th, Lucas Gabriel, the Bellevue University men's basketball coach. And then Amy Williams, the head women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska. So we got a great lineup. It's very affordable. $80 for 4 weeks. You get wings. You get great camaraderie. Other than the four of us, you probably don't want to hang out with any of us in any way, shape, or form. So really excited and check it out. Really excited. episode 244 next week. This is crazy, guys. 5 week or 5 year anniversary. It'll be 5 years that this whole stupid thing started. Next
week. I wouldn't call it a stupid thing.
Me neither. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
It is. It's really good because it's really. I can tell you, I've listened to hours and hours of the things that you've put on, and it has helped me as a coach. It's helped me as a person. It's been huge. And so I know, I'm guarantee you there's a lot more other coaches that are doing the same thing, and they appreciate that.
Well,
no question. I think you get such a good variety of coaches with different experiences and, you know, different parts of the country, obviously a little bit more centered around people you know here. But, you know, I'm like Steve, I'm a podcast listener, and this is almost always on my weekly one. And even if it's somebody that does something completely different than what we do schematically, you take away something almost every time.
And you pose unique questions that other podcasts don't sometimes touch on. So I enjoy that perspective as well.
I appreciate it, fellas. Now buy a book tonight. That's the only thing. I'm excited for the 5 year anniversary. Truth be told, that pod has already been taped, and I think you will really, really enjoy it. Had a lot of fun. It is a guest that I'm going to leave a little Mike Greenberg teaser here for the 5 year anniversary. You're not going to want to miss it because it was somebody that, if you're a basketball person, everybody knows, and I'll tell you who it is off the air, but everybody, it's somebody that everybody knows and just an all-around outstanding human being. And so I really encourage you. You're going to listen to this Monday. You're going to listen to me and Tony on Friday, and then a week from this Monday, you're going to listen to the 5 year anniversary. It was 5 years, the last week of September. And again, I mean, Kevin Sheaf, Kelly Flynn, and Jennifer Rogge, those were the first three guests. And the whole goal, I don't want to sound like an idiot. That was literally the only goal that I had. It's kind of like with the book. And I know, Klein, you're in there, and I appreciate your time that you put in to help me put it together. I've said it repeatedly. I just don't want it to suck. and in all honesty, in all truth, I hope I told your story well.
Oh, I'm looking forward to reading it.
You know,
I'm excited for it.
And that's what I want.
I'm sure you did.
So
I guarantee you did.
So episode 244, we're here at Legends 69th and Pacific here in Omaha. Again, if you're in the Omaha, Lincoln, Council Bluffs area, you should be signing up. You should be here. You're going to listen to some great coaches. You're going to get to meet some great people. We've already got a few people in here tonight that are starting to graze on the chicken wings a little bit. So it should be a great evening. Coaches, I hope you've enjoyed. These roundtables are so much fun. I wish I had more time and more ability to do more of these, but they're a lot of fun. So. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.